Today on Selling Homes with Silas, we're talking about how to price your home correctly the first time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Selling Homes with Silas. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 3. Number 3 is entitled How to Price Your Home Correctly the First Time. And before we get into that, I want to introduce myself. Since this is episode number 3, you may not know me yet. My name is Silas Lindenstein. I'm a real estate agent with Skyline Properties out here in the Seattle, Washington area. Hey, it's okay if you're not from Seattle. This podcast is still for you. It is all about empowering and educating home sellers all across the nation. Most of what we cover in here deals with the selling aspect of the house sale transaction. So if you're more of a buyer or a first time buyer, you may want to check out my other podcast called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. That one is available at yourbuyingahome.com. And that one goes the step-by-step process of buying a home. Now, you may want to know some tips, like you want to get some tips on what the seller is thinking, you know, and so that this will make it a good podcast for you to listen to. So that's fine too. But this one focuses on the point of view of the seller, okay? And whether you are planning to use an agent or if you are going to try what we call FSBO, for sale by owner, I'm providing info to help make this process a lot smoother for you. Of course, if you do want to use an agent, if you don't have one lined up, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, you can give me a call or at 206-351-9230, or you can email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com, you know, and I'll talk to you. If you are somewhere other than Seattle around the nation, you can also email me. And I can hook you up with a agent in your area. Let's say you've been trying to sell it for a while and you're like, well, this isn't working. So I need something. That's why you found the podcast. And if you end up wanting an agent, let me, you know, I can send that to you, send you over one. Or if you want to get my guide, if you want to get my guidebook, a for sale by owner guidebook, you can message me at silas@silasgetsreal.com and say, hey, I'd love your guidebook. And, you know, you just tell me where you're from. Tell me what city and state. I'm trying to see where this one reaches to. And that's it. So enough of that. If you want, not enough. If you could please go to iTunes and rate this 5-star. It gets the word out about the podcast. It helps this, you know, leave some wonderful comments about me and the podcast. And of course, share this with your friends. Let them know, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to sell my home and this is a great podcast. Do that. That's the ask. That's what I got for you. Okay. So how to price your home correctly. This is one of the major decision makers. Now, remember, an agent can come in to you and tell you what you want to hear. They can tell you how much a house should sell for, their estimate. And you can take that or leave it. You can go with what they suggest, or you can put your own price down. It's really, ultimately, it's up to you to decide on the price. Agents can only advise you, but if you don't want to be advised, you know, it's really hard. The insistence from sellers on, they won't believe what it should sell out. But here's what I want to emphasize. How important it is to price your home correctly. If you don't, say you stand to lose 10, 15% on the sale in the end, if you price it too high. Okay. So you need to, try to get it correctly within that margin. It's better to price it just a little under. It's better to get under because the market will probably bring it back up to where it should be or even higher. In fact, so it's better to price too low than too high. Too high. There's a number of things. We'll get into that. But I want to go into the why. Why are homes priced too high to begin with? Okay, and then I'll tell you how, at the end of this, I'll tell you how you price your home properly. So, too often, we price a home as a seller, not an agent. Sometimes, speaking from the point of view of the seller, we price too high because of the neighbors. We see a neighbor sold their house for this much. Dan around the corner just sold his house for $500,000. I have a better house, so it should sell for $550,000. Discounting the fact of everything that Dan did to the house and the upgrades that they made, and, you know, to a degree, being honest with yourself about their house compared to yours. And I've dealt this with sellers that they're like, well, I want this price because so-and-so, they so much they sold it to. They were at least willing to put the work into the home to make it that level, to bring it there. So that's one thing, if you can be honest in that way. But more often, people price it too high because they look at what the neighbors sold their house for, and they pride takes over, and they do that. They price it on a number based on how much is owed. Let's say they just bought the house a couple of years ago and then something happens, they need to move and they want to sell it. They don't want to lose any money. And they're thinking like, okay, well, I owe this money, so I need to, it's going to cost this much for agent fees or this much to market. I'm going to price it at this, so I don't want to lose money. You can't sell a home because based off of how much is owed, because you don't want to lose any money. You have to base off of what the market is like. If the market had gone down, then no, you're probably not gonna, after 2 years, make your money back. So you gotta look at that. Online guides, people use that. They see, they look it up. Some people, rhymes with Millo, right? They go to the Millo site and they say, oh, here's my M estimate or Z estimate. You look at that and you say, oh, well, that's how much they think it's worth. They haven't been in the house. They don't know. They don't know what you've done, good or bad. They don't know that you have a dog that's trashed the place. They don't know that you put $20,000 in to make the bathroom one that you'd want to die in. You know, they don't know good or bad what you've done. Online sites, they have algorithms, but they are often wrong. If you look at how much they get, well, you can take neighborhoods and look. We have software. I can take a neighborhood, see how much they guessed homes would be and how much they actually sold for. So. And another big culprit, unfortunately, real estate agents buying the listing, as we call it. Buying the listing is when an agent goes into a house. They know how much this house should sell for because they've looked at the comps. They know this house. They know the neighborhood. They know what's happening in the market. And they're like, this house is $400,000, and that's how much it'll sell for. And I have a 99% probability of that. But the seller says, I want $475,000. And another agent said they could get me $475,000. Can you do that? And the agent says, oh, I can get $500,000. This house will get $500,000. Or even if they said the $475,000. And they're like, okay, well, I'll take you because you gave me the highest number. Agents are trying to get your business. So they're trying to get you. A lot of them will just say whatever number, you know, like I'll tell someone how much the house is worth. And, you know, if they think it's worth way more than that, we're going to have a good conversation, a big conversation about how much it's actually worth. Okay. A big conversation, and they so that they have complete confidence or a complete knowledge going in that it is against my advice on what it's worth, and it's going to sit there. Okay, so those are ways. Don't let get the best agent for you. Which it's an opinion on what makes the best agent. Best agent is one that works well with you and fits well, and will represent you well and get you the most money possible. But so pick that person, not one that'll just say what you want to hear in order to get you to sign the paperwork because they figure they can get you to lower the price in a couple weeks anyway when the house hasn't sold. Avoid that agent. What are the results of it being bad? The results of the bad pricing of it being too high. One, time on the market. Time on the market is the death of a house. You do not want, you don't want the house to sit there over the average, right? Or the median time online, because people start to think there's something wrong with it. In Seattle a couple of years ago, houses were going in one weekend. So if for some reason, some odd reason, your home didn't go in the first weekend, it was around the second weekend, people would assume something was wrong with it. Either something's wrong with it, or they wouldn't even look because they'd figure it was already gone. I got someone into a house because we all assumed the house was gone because we offered on a different house. They didn't get it, and we didn't even look. And then it was just like, that's really weird that that's still available. Huh. And I checked, and they didn't get any offers for some reason. And so we went and got it, grabbed the house. But the point is, most of the time, that doesn't happen. So the time on the market, so it sits there. So if a house is sitting there 67 days, then I'm deciding that's a pit, right? Otherwise, somebody would have bought it. Or it's just way overpriced, and so you're just going to get some lowballer to come in, right? And because of that, time in the market, people assuming it's bad, it starts giving negative perceptions to audience, to the potential buyers. And so they may not come and look, or they're coming in and looking for problems because it's been on the market a while. So there's a reason. So what did they miss? There's something wrong with this. So I'm just not, I can't put in, I'm going to put in for all the mistakes. There must be something wrong I'm missing. No, can't do it. Too high throws a negative. Besides that, it comments, you know, there's stress on you at not selling. Mortgage payments, if you're not living there, you're going to still be making the mortgage payments, right? So don't be stubborn. If you're already paying $2,000 and you need to price it down four, you don't want to just sit on there 6 months, okay? And sometimes a $4,000 reduction is just what it needs in the first place to get into a right number point, right? Limits buyers. If buyers are searching, you're just upset. Buyers saying like, you know what? I'll look up to 400,000 and you're pricing yours at 425 and it's too high. And then eventually you're going to drop down to 400 anyway for it to sell. But you've missed all those buyers that were there before, right? And because it's time increased and stuff, they're not noticing. So you are limiting the buyer pool to everyone who can only afford up to that 425. But if it's overpriced and those people don't want it anyway, you're missing out on those 400 to 425 range. So again, you get more, the more people you get in the house to look at your house, the more offers you will get. The more offers you get, the higher the sale will be. So anything that limits the buyers coming into the property, coming on the property, looking at it, is costing you money. Bottom line. And then appraisal problems. Let's say you did overprice it and you actually happen to get a buyer. Then the appraiser is going to come in, do a real look at what they think it's worth. And they might say, you like, well, yeah, you found somebody for $450 on this house, but it's a $400,000 house. And that's all I'm going to approve it for the bank. So the bank's only going to loan that much to the buyer. And so that extra $50,000, so either the deal's done or you're going to have to lower the price. Maybe the buyer will bring in and pay the difference. Unlikely if they're going to have an extra $50,000 sitting around. No. So you'll probably have to lower the price. All because you just went too high and got stubborn. So we got to end that. We got to stop that. We got to look realistically on how you price a house. And now I'm going to tell you, here's how, this is like the big secret, right? This is how agents figure it out. And you can do this. I mean, a big reason you use an agent is for honesty, to be honest with you and to keep you honest. And that saves you. They're worth the money besides in all the work they do for you, just in keeping you honest, right? They're going to do a comparative market analysis. Comparable market analysis. They're going to, it's called a CMA. They're going to take all these, they're going to look at recent sold homes in the last 6 months. Say any more than 6 months are not considered a value, a good CMA. Cause that's how much, That's how long the market is good for. They're going to take 3 to 4 homes that are similar to yours. See how much they sold for. So, and with similar, I'm saying they're trying to match it as close as possible. Looking at number of bedrooms, square footage, age of the home. I would say bedrooms, bedroom baths, and square footage are the most important. Then you start looking at age of the home. Then you're looking at size of the lot, maybe. Looking at upgrades. Looking at, you know, does this one have a better bath? Does this one have gas heat, maybe, or whatever? You start looking at everything that makes it different. Is that a true bedroom, or was that like, oh, they converted a garage. Now there's no garage. So we've got to account for that. There's so many things. There are so many things that you have to look at. But they're trying to find, you know, the easiest is those like they're projects. When they're like, they all look the same. These homes, these settlements, all the houses are the same. So it's really easy to go, oh, well, 4-bedroom, 3-bath. They're all the same. So that's how much it's worth. That's how much 3 of them sold for. You know, and of course, yeah, maybe it's worth more now. 6 months later, yours should sell for a little bit more maybe than 1 6 months ago. So you gotta look at that. Now, there's things that don't count in it. For instance, like if there was a foreclosure by chance, it's sold really cheap, that's considered an outlier. And they'll throw that out. Same as actually a bidding war that drives everything way up. If there's only one in the neighborhood that did that, they'll throw that one out as an outlier too. So, because they're trying to find a good three, four. And just being honest with it and seeing what in your neighborhood and we're starting off like a quarter mile away. That's where when I'm looking for a home or I'm looking to sell, we're looking at a quarter mile around it. Then I expand it maybe to a half mile. And really depends on your location, how rural it is, how much that matters. Like if I'm in the heart of Seattle, half a mile is a huge difference in neighborhoods and how much they're worth. So that's what you got to do. Find 3 to 4 homes in your area as close to your home as you can and decide and use those as baselines to figure out how much your house is worth. But you got to be honest. You got to be honest about everything that we talked about in here. And then you know about how much your house is worth. The big fear that people have is like, but I don't want to leave money on the table. And I'll tell you this, if you price it too low, you're not gonna. In most likelihood, if you price your house maybe 10, 15% too high, too low, rather, like maybe 20% too low, right? You might get some people that don't go because it doesn't seem, it looks like there's something wrong. And that's the key. You want to decide, how far down until it looks like something's wrong with the house. But if you can get that 5% underpriced, you're going to get more offers and probably get a higher offer than you would have even had it priced exactly the same, right? So, and then it's up to your agent to negotiate and use multiple offers and see how good they are with dealing with multiple offers and getting people to raise the price up to the point that's not too high, unless they can get them to waive a contingency on appraisal or something like that. So that's it. I mean, it's not finding the CMA. That's what it's all about. And that's what even buyer's agents are looking at when they decide what the good offer is to put on the house. They're gonna make their own CMA and decide. So it's all about that. So that's all you need to do to price the home. All you need to do. It's kind of hard because all houses are unique, but you get the gist. And so that is how you price your home correctly the first time. Hey, everybody. That's it. That's the program. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, please go rate this on iTunes if you're enjoying it. We're just at episode 3, but, you know, we got a lot more to go, a lot more information coming out there. If you want that for sale by owner guidebook on how to sell your home, email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. And of course, if you need an agent in your area, also message me there, get a referral. Or if you just have any other questions or you want to say hi, we can chat over email. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so much looking forward to these podcasts now. I'm Silas Levenstein, Skyline Properties. happy home selling.